Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence this hour of the day to give our thanks unto thee, first of all, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus. We thank thee, Father, for his great love. We thank thee for his great gift. We thank thee for his life. And today we would seek to glorify him. We pray, Father, thy blessing upon this gathering. We thank thee for each one that has come. We thank thee that on this Lord's Day we can gather together. And we thank thee that we have freedom in this land to do so. And so we would ask of thee that thou wilt be very near to us. We ask for help from on high. Today we would pray, Lord, for Sunday school teachers that have on their heart to teach the children the Word of God. We would pray that they will have the help from God they need to make clear the truths from the Bible. We would pray for the young souls that hear the Word of God. How glad we are for days when we heard the Word of God in our youth. And we would pray that the young ones would be saved. We thank thee that while there's life, there's hope, and it's never too late to be saved. We would pray, O Lord, that thou wilt save them while they're young, that they might live lives that honor thee and glorify thee, that they might be kept from the wicked world to live for the Savior. Help us, O Lord, as we look into thy word, as we contemplate the work of the Lord, we would pray that thou wilt give the needed help in this gathering. May we be fed from thy word, and may we have a sense of joy in our souls as we see what God is doing. So we look unto thee with thanksgiving and commit ourselves to thee in our Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Thessalonians again, please, chapter 1. If I'm having a problem with my Bible and finding the places, it's because I'm using the English Bible, and it's one of those that all the pages are clean pages. I only use it when we come to Canada, and that once in a while. First Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. I was interested that the Revised Version would translate that verse like this: for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere. So if you'll allow me just to take that rendering of this verse, I would like to note very simply four details from this verse. First of all, the seed, because he says not only has the word of the Lord, the seed that we bear. When we come to the second part of the verse, obviously now it's not the seed, but the sounding forth. The word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia. And then thirdly, in noticing exactly those words, Macedonia and Achaia, it's the spread of the gospel to the different places that it went in that part of the world. And finally, I would like to suggest that when we come to the latter part of the verse, your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, the stability of testimony that follows along in the work of the gospel. That not only did they preach the word of God, but their faith in God was evident to those that were around them, and they saw that the message they preached was something that had affected their lives to such a degree that it was, to those that saw them, that's faith in God, as they watched them and they lived nearby to them. Now, not that I want to spend a lot of time on this verse in exposition. There are men here that are far better than I would be at that. But when we come to the seed of the Word of God, he's speaking to them in a place where they, in a very brief period of time, heard the Word of God preached by one of the best preachers that the New Testament tells us of. And after having heard him preach the gospel, they were grounded enough in that gospel message to be able then to teach it from that assembly, that the Thessalonians sounded out the Word of God. But he tells them that's exactly what they did. They didn't do like the Galatians and try to change the gospel or make another gospel. They took the Word of God, and that is what they preached. And if there's something that we need to remind our own hearts of, it's exactly that, that we need to preach the Word of God. I do remember hearing of Brother Albert Hull when he was leaving the coast of Ireland on the boat to come over to the eastern part of Canada. And when they've all waved goodbye and so on, he just hears one voice over top of the rest of them, "Albert, preach the gospel." And that's exactly what he came to do. And so the Apostle Paul, when he comes to tell the Thessalonians, he's not going to tell them that they deviated from the Word of God, but he says to them that the Word of the Lord sounded forth from you. Now, the activity of sounding forth the Word of God was... I know that sometimes we need to be careful of dictionary definitions, because the word sounded in some dictionaries just says to make a loud noise. Now, sometimes maybe that's what we do, just make a loud noise. But he is saying that the word of the Lord sounded out. That what was told was a clear ring. It sounded, it was more than just noise, but there was a clear ring. And what they heard was the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord sounded forth from you. And then he says, in the spread of the gospel. Now, obviously, I would like to take this verse, and like the Apostle Paul wrote it to the Thessalonians this morning, I would like to use this verse and tell it to the assembly in West End. Now, if I were to write this verse then to West End, I would have to say it like this. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord not only in Manitoba and Africa, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. And the spread of the gospel that goes out from one place to another, to another, to another. And the stability of the testimony that remains, not only in the place of testimony, the assembly, where the word of God sounded out from, but the places it was sent to, and where other assemblies were established, and the word of God goes on, and it establishes testimony, and the people around take a look, and they see the stability of a Christian life, something that took place when the word of God was heard, and now that change has taken place, and there's a testimony to the world that's around us. We're very glad to be in West End this morning for several reasons. The last time we came to Canada, we didn't get to pay a visit to West End. And so West End was a priority this time around. More than that, we wanted to come to West End. And a third reason that maybe is of higher priority yet, with us this time is Sidney Sayward's great-granddaughter. So when I came to think of our visit to West End this time, this verse came to me immediately. In 1922, Sidney James Sayward was commended from the West End Assembly to go to Venezuela as a single young man. And in 1925, Eleanor C. Scott was commended jointly by the West End Assembly and the Fairview Assembly in Vancouver, also to Venezuela. They began to correspond, and it was from Mrs. Elner C. Scott. She wrote to Dear Mr. Sayward. I think it was just a few months later when she then addressed her letters to my darling Sydney. And then before too long, actually sooner than they wanted to, they were married. Well, the problem was this. A missionary couple that was living in Venezuela had to go back to Ireland, and they needed someone to take care of their house. And it wouldn't do for Mr. Sidney J. Sayward and Miss Eleanor C. Scott to move into the house, so they had better be married before they moved into the house, and this couple had to go, and so they were married rather hurriedly in the country of Venezuela, and obviously served the Lord for many, many years there. On one of their furloughs back to Canada, again, when they visited the city of Winnipeg, there was born to them a daughter, Eunice. And Eunice married Donald Alves from Vancouver. May 1st of 1956, Donald and Eunice Alves moved with their small children to the country of Venezuela. He was working as an accountant for Price Waterhouse at that time, doing accounting work for the Shell Oil Company. And Donald Alves from that time dedicated a lot of his time to printing tracts, little booklets, helping in the work of the Lord where he could, and retired just a few years ago from the accounting, and has still helped a lot in that work. Eunice and Donald Alves' daughter, Edith, married a Venezuelan man, and they have three children. Raquel is in Vallarta, married to a Mexican man in the assembly in Puerto Vallarta. Eleanor is here with us today, and Miguel is in Venezuela, just having finished his university. From that assembly in Venezuela, in Aguanagua, Eleanor was commended to the grace of God for his work in Mexico some short time ago. And so she is teaching Spanish to several of the missionary families in Hermosillo. She's largely involved in the printing work. What her grandfather is going to give up, Eleanor is going to take over most of that. She's involved in translation work, some of the PBS work that's going to be translated into Spanish. There's a team working on that, and Eleanor is one of the ones on that team. So we consider it a privilege to have Eleanor with us today. The long trip up to Canada. The first time, she's a Canadian citizen. This is her first time to Canada, and we've already had a snowball fight. We had at least enough snow to make sure that she felt what snow really was like. So it's not only a privilege for us to be in West End today, we have the pleasure of seeing Eleanor here as well. Now, there are some other things that I would like to relate as far as the work of the Lord is concerned and the West End Assembly. Things that, as far as I know, I haven't said here, and I do want to be careful that I'm not repeating myself all the time, and that there is going to be a report in a conference at Austin on Saturday morning. But in 1992, my wife and I were very concerned before the Lord as to what our life was going to hold. And the overseeing brethren of the West End Assembly that year invited to their conference different men to share in the ministry of the Word of God. My wife and I, before we came to the conference, we asked the Lord that this conference in West End would have a specific word of the Lord for us. And David Alves was to be at that conference. David Oliver was invited to that conference. David Richards was invited to that conference. In fact, I'm not sure there was a preacher that wasn't a David at that conference. So we came with this exercise of heart to hear what God would have to say. We were here Saturday. We came back on the Lord's Day. We were to take David Alves back to Portage. He was preaching the gospel Sunday night in Portage. And so we came, and it just seemed that every man that got up, his message was just for us. We heard David Richards speak, and as he got up, he said, "I want to speak today to a select group of young men." And he continued to speak on men that needed to go out and serve the Lord. David Oliver that year spoke a message on the assembly and its relation to the gospel. And he said, one of the assembly responsibilities is to send out workers. Now he said that day, and by the way, when you send them to the States. It's a good thing he just said, by the way. David Ells gave a mission report at that conference as well on Mexico and so on. That was the spring of 1992. In the fall of 1992, my wife and I decided that we would pay a visit to Mexico. A three-month visit that turned into a five-month visit. Then we came back to Manitoba, where we met with the elders and were sent out then back to Mexico in the month of August, 1993. And I want to relate that for this reason, to see how God works in different ways, in common everyday occurrences, as we might call them, to be able to see his work accomplished. And for that reason, I've mentioned that it was the oversight of the assembly invited certain men, and those men before the Lord and their exercise brought messages that were necessary that they didn't know anything about, because we had determined, Barb and I had determined, that we were not going to say anything to anybody. We thought that if it's of the Lord, the Lord's going to be able to arrange it. We don't need to be pushing, or we don't need to be telling this whole story. And so we are grateful to the Lord for men with spiritual exercise to see that things are done in a godly way, that God is able to move in our day to see the work of God grow, to see the work of God carry on. And so, in my mind, there are reasons to rejoice that when Paul says to the Thessalonians, we can say of West End that the word of God sounded out from you, and the work of God goes on. Now, we'll get to just a little of what has taken place in our lives since the last time we were in West End. We have had a good number of changes since the last time we were in West End. Other than that, our children are now taller than we are. There are other changes that occurred in our life. It was made very clear to us through a number of circumstances that we were no longer to live in that place called La Rinconada. The house we rented for 12 years was up for sale. The lady came from California to tell us that she now wanted to sell her house, and she no longer wanted to rent it out, and she was going to be in Mexico 5 days. We had till Friday to tell her what our answer was, and on Friday it was very clear to us that the answer was no. We could not buy that house at that time, just over 5 days. The answer was no. And so we thought, well, if the answer is no, then the Lord has something else for us. We just need to know what it is. For 8 years previous, we had traveled back and forth to the city of Guadalajara twice a week at least, sometimes three times a week, sometimes seven times a week when we had gospel series in that city. It's a 2.5-hour drive. The last 40 kilometers, 42 kilometers, are over a narrow two-lane road, and you really have to keep your speed down on those roads, well, at least down to 100 kilometers an hour, when you're going over the curves and watching for the donkeys and the speed bumps that they tend to put in every little village to make sure that someone pays attention. The work in Guadalajara was a work that began in a seed sowers distribution in 1998. We saw a small interest there, the contrast being the large city and a small interest. We've seen other places in Mexico where we're talking about small villages and a large interest. But in Guadalajara, the people are very much taken up not only with their religion, they are taken up with business, and they are taken up with security. And so they're very concerned about other things that are occupying them and not so much interested in the gospel. There are a number of contacts that we had, or have had over the years, in that city, and we began to sense that maybe that's where we ought to be going. The assembly in Zamora had matured to a stage where We no longer felt we absolutely had to live there. God had raised up men to be leaders in the assembly. And sisters were taking on responsibilities as far as children's work was concerned, kitchen work, and other responsibilities in the assembly. And so we slowly began to just back away a little and watch them as the assembly matured even more. The work in Guadalajara was a very needy work. It came to a place where the work that had carried on and brethren that had helped in children's work and were no longer able to help in the children's work because of business situations. And so now we were needed more than ever in Guadalajara. So we decided that it was time that we look for a place to live in Guadalajara. And if the Lord were to open the door, then we would step in. So we began to look through different venues. The Lord opened the door that we were able to purchase a home in Guadalajara. And it was something that we felt was adequate and that it wasn't right inside the city, yet it was close enough to the hall to be serviceable, where people could come and visit. Believers were close enough to be able to get to our place, a place that was convenient for the children to have their schooling in the home as well, a place where we could work and seek to honor the Lord in different aspects of the work there in Guadalajara. During the time of our questioning as to what we should do, one of the brethren from the assembly in Samora got up on a Sunday afternoon in a monthly ministry meeting, and he read Genesis chapter 24. And he said, "There's only one thing really I want to say about Genesis 24 today." He talked about the servant, he talked about Rebekah, and he talked about the journey and everything else. But he said, "There's really only one thing I want to talk about, the servant. If this servant hadn't gotten up and done it, nothing would have happened." I think about four or five times he said that same thing. This servant had to get up and go. After the ministry meeting was over, they knew nothing of our prayer concern, of what was going on in our lives. I said to him, "You really believe that? That he needs to get up and go?" "Yes, I really believe that." I said, "Even if it has to do with me?" And he looked at me and he said, "Well, I guess so." Not too long later, one of the other brethren rose on a Lord's Day morning at the end of the breaking of bread. And his word of ministry had to do with the Lord's answer to prayer. And so the Lord, by using the same Christians that we had worked among for 12 years, he used them to indicate to us part of our move. But more than that, obviously when we told the assembly that we were going to move, there was a bit of an outcry of "you can't go." So we took a ministry meeting to just indicate how the Lord had so arranged things by using even their brethren, even the brethren from that assembly, to indicate it to us. And it made it easier for them to accept that this was of the Lord. The day when Chucho came to say goodbye, we were on our way to Canada, and he had a smile on his face, and he, in a joking manner, said, "If you ever think that it wasn't the will of the Lord for you to go, you can always come back. Your place is still here." And so we felt the love of the saints and the unity with them, even though we were going to be moving away. Our youngest son was born there. We obviously have great ties to that city, and we understand just a little of what the Apostle Paul says when he speaks of the care of all the churches. A place where you've worked for that long. We were there. We were part of the number the very first day they broke bread. And for the number of years that we were there, we saw the assembly grow from 17 in fellowship that first day to 38 in fellowship when we moved away to Guadalajara. And we see the saints carrying on. They still call, they rely on us for some words of counsel maybe, but we are just very thankful to see the assembly carry on according to the word of the Lord. Now, when we came to Guadalajara, the work in Guadalajara came to a new point in that now we were going to be there full time, living there every day. Before we had driven from Sonora to Guadalajara. Now, on the Lord's Day morning, we drove from Guadalajara to Sonora to be able to break bread with the saints. That took place from the month of September to the month of December of last year. And we found it a strain on the brain of those of us that had to drive the distance and then make sure we were ready for all of the meetings that were to take place in each of the places that day, because there were two meetings in Sonora. There was the breaking of bread and then the Sunday school, and then we quickly drove to Guadalajara, and then there was the Sunday school and the gospel meeting in Guadalajara. We decided that if we wanted to see the work go ahead, there were some changes that were necessary. The seed sower's distribution was to be in Guadalajara at the end of 2007. We began on the second Sunday in December to have in our little tin building a worship meeting. Not the breaking of bread, a worship meeting, where we meet together and we give God thanks for His Son. We sing a hymn, we have a word of ministry, and we close the meeting. And that will take place up until the time that the assembly is formed, when we would see that the Lord has so moved to have enough of the saints that are convinced to follow the word of God to be able to maintain the testimony. There are three believers who we would see with regularity, in fact, that even now carry on the meetings while we're away. Alfredo and Felix, a couple that they have married children, and then Felix, a single young man who's quite a bit older than I am, and he also is a faithful believer in that place. There are several other contacts that come, and we're really grateful to the Lord from the seed sower distribution. A Christian lady that lived in the area, she had gone to several different places, and she had seen the error of some of their ways. When she got the text, she phoned. She asked what we were and what we believed, and she has come faithfully to the meetings since the text went out in December. The meetings began in January, and she has come faithfully. Her name is Erlinda. Her husband is unsaved. She makes sure that her two sons come to the Sunday school, but she has a problem trying to convince her family that what she is doing is right. They are still very religious. But Erlinda comes to the meetings and she wants to help. She wants to help us clean the halls on Saturday, clean the hall on Saturdays. She wants to be at every meeting that she can be, and she is very grateful, and she says we are learning so much. In fact, she said that when Brother Jason and I had the five-week series of gospel meetings at the beginning of the year, every night she would say to us, I'm learning so much, I'm learning so much. And so as we were preaching the gospel, there were things that she obviously hadn't taken in before, and now she was learning them from the scriptures. And so the gospel series was helpful to the saints. We did not see great crowds of people coming to the gospel meetings. I was sadly disappointed at the few people that came from the 110,000 texts that we distributed in December. People called, people showed interest, But the southern part of Mexico is much more religious than the northern part of Mexico. And so the southern part of Mexico, people are very, very concerned with what others might think if they see me walking into another religious place. And so we have that difficulty as we work in that large city. I should maybe tell you of another couple that we've come into contact with again. I was telling someone in the break that Gerardo was a man who was in prison. And he had a life sentence. He's from Nicaragua. By the time he was 15 years old, he had 1,000 boy soldiers under him to fight the guerrillas, or to fight with the guerrillas. He came into Mexico, and he has never told me what he did, but whatever he did, it got him a life sentence. He was in jail in Mexico. Since the time he was in jail, he wrote to every Mexican president to tell him his case and to ask him for a pardon. Vicente Fox, our last president, took up his case and gave him a full pardon. And Gerardo moved into an area close to where one of the believers lived. And Gerardo was invited to the meetings. Gerardo came to the meetings. Brother Mark Fitch from Omaha was visiting us one summer. And I asked him if he would preach the gospel that night by translation. Now, translation is a necessary evil, if you want to call it that. It's a good thing to learn the language. But if a person can't speak Spanish, then we're willing to translate that person's message into Spanish. And so Mark was preaching in English that night, and this man sat in the back row, and towards the end of the meeting, I saw there were tears rolling down his cheeks. So when I walked to the back of the hall after the meeting on his way out, he was just about running on the way out, and I grabbed his hand and I said, "Would you like to talk?" And he said, "Nope." And away he went into the night. He came back the next meeting, and he said, "I don't know what happened to me Sunday night. The way that man was speaking, something happened. I cannot remember crying," he says, "ever. But," he said, "Sunday night, I couldn't help it. The message that I heard." Now, whether he got salvation or not that night, I'm not sure. He thought maybe he did. We lost track of him for some time. Then, in December of 2007, 100 seed sowers came. That was really 140. We were told 100 people were coming. We had 140. We were glad to have them all at our house every day for lunch. We had no problem with the water. We had no problem with the sewer. We had no problem with the food. At least I didn't hear about it, if we did. They gave out 110,000 gospel texts. And Gerardo, who now is married and has 3 small children, his wife wanted to come to the hall. And he just pushed her off. She said, I want to go to that place. Approximately 2 months ago, on a Sunday morning, they were walking by. And we were having the meeting. And they stopped on the street and looked up. And as I was speaking, he looked in the door and he said to his wife, "I know that man." And they walked up about halfway toward the hall. And he told her again, "I know that man. I used to hear him around the corner, preaching here in the little building." And so they came right up to the door. And so we asked them to come in and sit down, and they enjoyed the rest of the meeting. When he was in prison, all he did was lift weights. Every night he came to meeting, he would put his arm around me like this and lift me up off the floor. He can't do that anymore. I guess he's not lifting weights, he's lifting children. But Gerardo was interested enough now that they've hardly missed a meeting since. His wife is not saved. Whatever happened to him, we're not sure, but we hope he really gets straightened out now. So there are just some contacts in Guadalajara that are coming to the hall. On a Sunday evening, we'll have between 30 and 40 people at the gospel meeting. In our worship meeting on a Sunday morning, there are 8 of us, 4 from our family, and 4 believers from there. And we're praying that the Lord would establish the work to such a degree that we'll have the joy of seeing an assembly established in that place. We have a very small building and a very small lot. Could it be that there will be a small assembly in that place someday? And in that large city of 10 million, there will be another assembly in another part of the city, and another assembly in another part of the city. And so we don't need a great big building. We don't need a building that will house 100, although we have that now. But a small assembly, and then another assembly in a different part of the city. Because one thing we do learn in that city is when we tell them where we are, they say, oh, you're a long way away, even though we're from downtown to the outside of the city. So maybe the Lord is going to open up doors like that. In fact, we have a contact that we need to work on the south side of the city. We've just learned of another contact on the west side of the city. And so there is much work to be done. And that one city of 10 million people, and we see it so large, so vast, a tremendous need. We're thankful that the Lord has provided for us to be there, provided a home for us. And we are, I should say that I am most grateful now to be working there with the family. When I went for those 8 years, normally I would go alone because of school days and different things that the family had to do at home. I would go by myself. And so it was a little difficult, even in a children's meeting. It was for me to take the attendance. It was for me to do the singing. It was for me to do the quiz. It was for me to do the verse. It was for me to do the lesson. It was for me to take the children home. And so now to have some to work with, that's a joy that has helped in relieving the pressure and distributing responsibility, able to work together. Now, maybe West End will again be the place from where the Word of God sounds out to the country of Mexico, to a large city like Guadalajara, to a large city like Monterrey, where there's no work, to many smaller cities that have no solid gospel outreach, that God would work, God would move, and the word would sound out, and testimonies established that will let others around see what this message does. Not only what this message is, but what this message does. We're grateful for the prayers of saints, that when we're working in a place far away, that you're praying. We're grateful for the interest of the West End Assembly in what's going on in that country and in many other countries around the world. Now let's pray.